Aiden, what am I gonna do? Kendall has accused me of kidnapping, and I didn't do it. And now I'm in jail. What? Plead guilty? I don't know, Aiden. Trust you? I think I do. I'm talking. Can't stop talking. But I believe in the power of Aiden. I'm seeing, I'm feeling, I believe Aiden can rescue me. With you, I'm not psycho. With you, I'm not crazy. You didn't think that I was nuts when I stole a little baby. You see that I am talkative. You see I can be mean. You see that I look really hot in a pair of seven jeans. When first you got me into bed, didn't understand a word you said. But I didn't really care because you look damn hot in your underwear. But now your brilliant detectivery has broken me out of jail, you see. I'm no longer little freakly. Aiden, you rescued me. Rescue me. It's hard to believe I survived crashing into a sea of boulders. Rescue me. It's hard to believe we're breaking out of jail. Throw me over your shoulders. Aiden, you did it. You rescued me. Let's go to the IHOP. I'm dying for some pancakes. This week on All My Children, Aiden rescues Greenlee. And suddenly, Greenlee's not so annoying. Kendall suffers from amnesia, I think. JR's off the wagon and Babe the one who put him there. And Crystal and Adam together, but not really, again. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza, and this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending November 9th, 2007. But November 10th, 2007 is a very important day because that is the day my cousin Christine and her girl Angela got married. They got hitched. So people, I was in Vermont all weekend. And right now, I'm a little tired. It's Sunday evening after a long weekend of me and my man Carlos driving. But you know, it was worth it because we had a great time. But I got to tell you, I was a little verklempt because I went to the Dunkin' Donuts because, you know, upstate New England, they have like a lot of Dunkin' Donuts and like I was really hungry and stuff. So I stopped into Dunkin' Donuts and I wanted to get a bagel with butter. People, I was in Vermont cow country and they didn't have no butter at the Dunkin' Donuts. I was so upset. They put some country crock or something like that on my bagel. I can't be having no country crock on my bagel. That's like, it's like this yellow grease or something. I like real butter, people. Real melt in your mouth butter. I was looking forward to some like fresh, like right from the cow butter. I didn't get it. But listen, I had a great time at the wedding. My girls are awesome. We had, oh my God, I had filet mignon. Carlos also had filet mignon, but mine was better. I like mine better because mine was rare. I like my meat really rare. And what else? We did a lot of dancing and everybody else did a lot of drinking. I don't drink, so I didn't do so much drinking, but I did a lot of dancing and it was fun. We had a great time. The whole family was there. Everybody was there and it was just a great time. So congratulations to my girls. I love them and I'm so happy that I could have been there. And you know, Ange is an avid listener of the Pine Valley Podcast. So a special shout out to her because she listens every week. She don't watch the show, you know, because she listens to us because, you know, we watch, so you don't have to. So, Ange, this episode is for you. Let me tell you, this week, probably could have watched because I'm going to tell you right now, it was a good week, people. I kid you not. I love this week. I really, really loved it. And what makes it really difficult is the writer's strike is continuing, right? We're in like starting week two of the writer's strike. And I'm telling you right now, people, I got inside scoop. They are hiring scabs, no doubt. If this thing goes on, it's scabs. And I got to tell you why. I learned this on National Public Radio because once in a while I tune in. because, you know, I'm not all like just like, you know, soap operas and stuff. I need to round out my listening habits. You know what I'm saying? So I listened on to NPR, and I'll probably put a link to the story on my website. But they said basically that the soaps would be destroyed if they stopped airing. Like if they aired reruns, people would lose. It's a serial, people. It's a serial story. And if serial stories don't continue, people lose interest and they stop watching. And right now, we all know people, especially our beloved All My Children, number 6 in the ratings, cannot afford to have people stop watching because it will be off the air within a year if that happened. So they're probably going to hire scabs. And my fear with that, people, is the writing is good right now. I'm telling you, it's decent. You know, it's not perfect. I still need to see some classics, some oldies but goodies, you know, more family stuff, you know, more of the Martin family and, you know, Chandlers and Cortlands and all that stuff. But I'm just concerned. I'm very concerned that we're going to see like UFOs and vampires and flying saucers with new scab writers. So I'm really hoping not. I'm really liking what's going on. Let's start with Greenlee. This is a good week for my girl Sabine Singh. A good week for her. She did some good work. All right, beginning of the week, we know, people, we're gonna give you a quick recap. And as you know, I'm alone today, so I don't want to bore y'all with me droning on and on. So I'm gonna give you as quick a recap as I possibly can. All right, we all know from last week that Greenlee was accused of kidnapping Spike. All right, and Zach is at the scene, and he kind of knows. He's got that raised eyebrow thing going, you know, and he kind of knows that something is wrong here, like that maybe Greenlee didn't do this. And Greenlee is shocked, and Sabine did very good work being shocked and hurt and all that stuff, and Aiden is there, and he gets nuts. Like, he goes all nuts. Look at her. Look at her. Look at her, Detective Fry. She's no criminal. Something like that. Of course, he said, look at her, Detective Fry. She's no criminal. And people, Derek Fry has been recast. I got to find out from Super Poster on some of the other blogs why the old Derek Fry ran. I have to say, I was reading on Super Poster's blog that a lot of people didn't like old Derek Fry, like the most recent one. And I really liked him. And people, I think I told you once before, I saw him on the street in New York City. He is a good looking man, like way better than he looks on All My Children. I was like, holy cow, who is that good looking man? He was really hot, people. He was like trim and toned and his face was gorgeous. Everything was good looking. I don't know. I liked him. I thought he was good. I thought he's a really good actor. They tend to get really good actors for Derek Fry. Although, that's maybe not true because I didn't like the first one so much. Actually, no, maybe the second one. I'm losing track, people, if the first one was the original one. The one that was there all those years, if he was the original one. You people probably know better than me. Anyway, I didn't love him so much. I thought he wasn't such a good actor. They almost couldn't give him like a storyline because he wasn't that good. But then the new Derek Fry came and he was good. So I don't know. I'm hoping that he got other work, but we'll see. New Derek Fry, he was fine. I'm willing to give him a chance. He seemed like he's pretty good. He played Jimi Hendrix, people. That was pretty funny. I digress. Aiden gets all crazy on Zach, and he starts pointing his finger at Zach's face. Like, I'm telling you, people be getting in Zach's face. They are crazy. They are crazy. That man is not one a man to take something sitting down and take something lightly. You threaten him, you better go through with it. Because if you don't, he's going to make sure you get yours. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't even mess with him. I'm from the hood. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, he's protesting. He's going crazy, Aiden. He's saying the evidence was planted. It's planted. Everything's planted. It's a plant. And of course, he's right. So then Fry takes her in for questioning and he handcuffs her. And then it's like you have like the parallel statements, people. You have Kendall giving a statement and you have Greenlee giving a statement. And it was really, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Of course, they give very different statements. And then Aiden like threatens Zach again. And like, I swear, people, Torsten K was kind of like laughing at Zach, at Aiden. I really don't know if he was like laughing in the moment or if he was really laughing at Aiden's fake toughness, because sometimes Aiden has a hard time pulling off, you know, those kinds of layered reactions. You know what I mean? He gets a little black and white. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was really funny. But then Erica comes to the station, and I love me some Erica Kane. We had, people, some classic Erica Kane this week. She comes to the station, right, after making love with Jack. Okay, she and Jack made love, all right, and then Jack runs off, you know, to rescue Greenlee. And Erica comes in and she's all like looking perfect, people. Perfect.
And of course, she believes Kendall right away. And Jack quickly realizes that something is wrong. Something is rotten in Denmark, as they say. And he like turns on Erica like on a dime. Like those two, that's the thing I can't stand about them. That's why I don't love their relationship. I know a lot of people do, but I don't, because they turn on each other like that. Like that. There's no loyalty. And if there's anything the Puerto Ricans are loyal. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and Carlos may go at it, but at the end of the day, he's my man and I'm his girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, we stick together. You know what I'm saying? But these two, they like flip on a dime. So anyway, so in the meantime, there's all this like brouhaha going on in the station. And Mr. Aiden Devane punches a cop, tries to. And I'm all like, what the hell is he doing? It's so stupid. Look, give me a break. Like, knock him up, you know? And then I'm quickly set straight, because it turns out that Aiden put himself in jail on purpose to be near Greenlee. And I swear on my life, I got a little misty. I swear. I don't know what happened. These two, I have to admit, not to like them. But I like them. I think I admitted that to you last week. I like them. I think they have good chemistry. I think that the way he takes care of her is really lovely. And I think that the way she lets him and the way she gets vulnerable around him is really lovely. I am thoroughly enjoying it. And so I loved it. But now she's pissed, right? Greenlee's pissed because she is like, all of a sudden, now I'm going to get my embryos from JR. So then Aiden, of course, has to break the news to her that this was all a fake as well. And Greenlee then has to reflect on how much that they really actually hated her. Like, it finally hits her, you know. And then Jack comes in, right, and tells Aiden and Greenlee about all the evidence against her. Basically, you know, Aiden's going crazy, of course. He's like, this is bollocks, which means BS, bull blank in Cockney English. And then Aiden, of course, he's just like reassuring Greenlee the whole time, you know, promising that he will get her out. And then she starts to feel sorry for herself in jail. Now, in the meantime, Aiden and Jack are kind of like talking about all the evidence and kind of going crazy, because really there's not much that they can do. Aiden is making some good points, though, of course. He's like pointing out how easy it is to, like, you know, tap into someone's computer and plan something. You know, he talks about Trojans and stuff like that. And, you know, of course, the dumbass Pine Valley police are not buying any of this, which is perfectly legitimate, you know, on Aiden's part. And it's perfectly easy to see how Kendall might have done all this. And in fact, so perfectly easy to see how Kendall might have done all this that Zach goes crazy on her. And I really like that, people. The one thing I didn't like, which I hated actually, and I didn't really believe. People, did you think when Kendall pulled that gun out of her bag and Zach saw it in the park and he stopped her and she said she would, you know, stop her plan, that she was crazy, blah, blah, blah. Did you believe her? Like, I didn't think that that was the end of it. Now, she claimed to Zach that the reason why she did what she did, because he's like, you lied to me, basically. Like, he wouldn't come out and say it. Like, he wouldn't come out and say, you lied to me. But he basically, you know, said to her, you lied to me. And she came up with some story about seeing Greenlee say that she was going to have Ryan's baby. And so it turns out that, of course, Zach had to tell Kendall that the reason why Greenlee said that was because of his scheme with the embryos. So then Kendall's like, oh, but Zach, I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do it. It's just that I thought that Greenlee wanted to take Spike. She said she wanted Ryan's baby. And it was like one of those things. Like, I'm trying to remember like a story where like it's almost like the gift of the magi kind of thing. Like, we always see that kind of thing happening. You know what I mean? Like, where one cockamamie scheme influences another cockamamie scheme and you get nowhere because each scheme cancels each other out kind of thing. That's what kind of happened there. And so she gets away with lying to Zach. I think she lied. She's believing her nonsense, because I think she never gave up her vendetta, but she's claiming she did and then only took it up again because of what she heard Greenlee say. Whatever. Now Kendall gets amnesia, and this is what I'm talking about, people. She starts going crazy worrying about Greenlee. Going crazy worrying about Greenlee, okay? And then Ryan comes over, okay? Ryan first goes to visit Greenlee, and he tears her a new butthole. All right. Because, he, of course, he uses the fact that she went to see him and talk to him about being part of the family and stuff like that. He uses that against her. And I have to give Sabine Singh credit again. Not a lot of makeup, people. She had real light makeup. She wasn't looking very good. And she went with it. And I was appreciating that. She didn't need to look all perfect in jail, because you wouldn't look perfect in jail. You look pretty messed up. So I was proud of her for that. And then she told Ryan the whole story and they went at it. And he kind of half believed her. So he went back to talk to Kenzel, who's getting torn apart by Zach, because of course Zach is pissed too. Like, he's more worried than pissed, because he knows that Kenzel may have had some holes in her plan. And she has one tiny little hole in her plan. She goes to prison and those children end up motherless. And which I have to say, I don't know that Ian would really miss her, because she don't really see him, you know. But Spike is another story. She actually loves Spike. So he might miss her. So, you know, Zach reminds her of that. Ryan reminds her of her little scheme perhaps affecting them. And then Zach and Ryan go at it. And I loved it, because those two, like, okay, I'm going to tell you something. Mr. Cameron Matheson got his head in Dancing with the Stars. And again, another beautiful week of performances by Mr. Cameron Matheson and Editor Slowinski. Beautiful. If you people are not watching, you are crazy. It is one of the best programs on television, all right? Mr. Cameron Matheson, with his head in the Dancing with the Stars clouds, sometimes is a little overkill on some of his dumbass scenes. I would say when he was fuming at Greenlee in the jail, it was pretty fake and phony and dumb. But when he's talking to Zach, damn, I believed him. Damn, it was good. It was real good. And they went head to head at one point. And it was like the tension was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Oh, man, people. It was good writing. And then at the end of the week, Ryan goes to see, I think, Tad, maybe. I don't remember, people. I get lost sometimes in my stories. But he goes to that, to the place, and he sees Aiden coming out with a box. Now, I'm digressing a little here because I got to go back. All right? With all of the evidence that is stacked against Greenlee, Mr. Aiden Devane looks at his little lady and he says to her,
I need you to trust me, Greenlee. I need you to plead guilty.
Which means, I need you to trust me, Greenlee. I need you to plead guilty. And she looks at him so bewildered and so hurt and so scared. And she says, really? And he says, trust me. And she says, I do. I do trust you because I love you, or something like that. And I loved it. And I said, that makes sense. For some reason, I didn't know what was going to happen, people. I have not been watching spoilers. I have not been reading spoilers. But I liked it. I knew that that was the right thing to do because it would freak Kendall out. All right. So then when Ryan goes to see Tad or whoever he's going to see, or Aiden or whoever, he might have actually been going to see Aiden. He goes to see Aiden. He realizes that Aiden is not at the courthouse. Okay. And he's like, what is wrong with this picture? So then they get into a big brouhaha. And he sort of lets on, I think, that he doesn't think Greenlee is guilty. I think. I kind of blanked that stuff out because I wasn't sure where it was going. So I kind of blanked it out. So anyway, in the meantime, Jack has been talking to Greenlee. And she fires him as a lawyer. And she tells him of her plan. And he don't get it. He's so confused and everything. And I'm kind of laughing because he hasn't really been a father to her for very long. But somehow it's like he's been with her since she was, like, you know, a glimmer in her mother's eye or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It was funny. But all right, fine. He loves her. So what he reveals to her, though, what Jack reveals to her is that they want to do a plea agreement. The prosecution wants to do a plea agreement where they give her like 6 to 10 years. Maybe she's out in 3 to 6 or something like that for good behavior. And he's trying to tell her not to take it because she's innocent. And there's so much, you know, circumstantial evidence. And she tells him that she's determined to plead guilty. And he doesn't get it. So then we all get to the hearing, right? Everybody except Aiden. I think that's what it was, people. I think that Aiden wasn't there. So Ryan ran out to see where Aiden was. Something like that. It doesn't matter. What matters was we're at the hearing. And I was actually really liking this because Kenzel, of course, goes to the hearing after being called by Jack, who begs her to reconsider. And he even points out to her that, you know, he considers himself her father. He tells her that he will help her, that he has never broken a promise to her. But she just hangs up, okay? And in the meantime, Miss Kenzel with amnesia is going crazy over Greenlee. Now she has a conscience, people. I mean, she set up the woman for kidnapping. And Zach told her that she could have a baby. I mean, the whole thing is like, these two are psycho to her. And now Kendall's freaking out that her friend, quote unquote, thinks that Kendall betrayed her. That was a little nonsense for me. It was too sudden. It was like a quick turnaround. I was wishing that Miss Alicia Mishu had a little more subtlety in that portrayal, because it was too much of a flip-flop for me. You know what I'm saying? I don't like flip-flops. You say something, that's your word. That's what you live by. You know what I'm saying? I understand a change of heart, but show me change of heart. Don't just flip-flop. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we get to the hearing and Ms. Greenlee pleads guilty. Whole kit and caboodle, but even goes like 8 steps further and like paints this whole picture. And you could tell she's being sarcastic and she's directing daggers at Greenlee, right? And the whole thing happens. And right before the plea agreement, and the judge sits her down and says, how do you plead? All of a sudden, people, the lights go out and they flicker and people go, ooh. And then the sprinklers go on and everybody goes, ooh. And the judge goes, secure the prisoner, secure the prisoner. And we see little Greenlee, little 95-pound Greenlee in her tight little 7-jean scuttle in the dark under the desk, and she scuttles away. Then all of a sudden, these rescue people are running in, and a guy runs out rescuing a woman with a cute little pair of size 07 jeans on her little butt, okay? And he says, out of the way, out of the way. And he looks up and he runs into Ryan, and it's Aiden. Aiden has put little Greenlee over his shoulder and he's rushing out with her. And he looks at Ryan, and Ryan sees his face, and he sees little Greenlee's butt with her little pair of 7 jeans on. And he looks at Aiden, and Aiden looks at him pleading with his eyes. Let me go, man. Let me go. It's my girl. I gotta take care of my girl. I read all of this in that one moment, people. And Ryan simply nods, and Aiden runs with his woman on his shoulder like Tarzan. And people, I loved it. I swear to God I wasn't going to do a podcast this week because my cousin's wedding, you know what I'm saying? And I was so crazy, busy and traveling and stuff. And Carlos was tired. I was tired. But after the way the show ended this week, I had to talk to y'all about it. I just had to talk to y'all about it because I thought it was great. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, I don't know. I got to go on the blogs and see what people thought. But I loved it. Loved it, loved it. He rescued that little lady. And I'm excited to see what they do. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think it's going to be the usual hijinks. We saw some previews from next week that show, like, her in a costume again and him in a costume. So we'll see what happens. But I thought it was great, people. Do I talk about Erica and Jack? I kind of mentioned them. They're basically going at it, people. They love each other, but they're torn because Erica is on Kendall's side. Jack is on Greenlee's side. And it's a brouhaha. The one thing I loved, I had to tell you two things about Erica that I loved. Fry tells Jack that Mary Smythe put in an order to have Greenlee committed. And Jack is like, what the hell? She hasn't seen her in like 2 years or something like that. And he kind of looks over at Erica. And I was so pissed, first of all, because Mary Smythe is in Europe, quote unquote. I love me some Mary Smythe too. I know Jordan loves Mary Smythe and I would have loved her to come back too, but that's not happening. So anyway, Jack swears he's going to go after Kendall. And Erica says, get Greenlee help. Greenlee is the one that needs help. And then I swear to God, this little lady turns around and she says, and I meant what I said, Jack. I will always love you. And Jack is like, And I'm just like, and then people, this is the classic Erica part. She turns around and calls a reporter and gives the reporter an exclusive about the Greenlee kidnapping. I loved it. It was so classic Erica Kane. I absolutely loved it. And then a couple more classic Erica Kane things. Opal comes into the hospital. Erica is there to see Ian, and Opal comes in and she gives Erica what for about Greenlee. She basically says, you know, you're selling your daughter down the river because she's like your daughter. She's your husband's, you know, child. And I really love these two. I just love when these two are in the same scene. It's classic stuff, and they were great. And Erica looked great. She was wearing this blue suit, people, and she did this very brave thing. Older women tend to wear their hair on their face. She pulled all of her hair off her face, and she looked a little older, people, but she's still so beautiful, and I just thought it was beautiful. She was so classy. She had these really big, sort of dangly, long, stringy, silvery, diamondy earrings on that were great, and she just looked wonderful. And then Dr. Joe busts in. We had another classic. Dr. Joe busts in, and he basically tells her that he busts her. I don't know how people, how did he know this? How did he know that she had Mary Smile's signature forged and that she had Greeny committed? I don't know how he knows this. And then he accuses her of meddling.
Erica, you've committed Greenlee. And that's wrong. And you're meddling. You never learn, Erica. You meddle.
And I am laughing to myself because who is a bigger meddler? Erica or Dr. Joe? I'm not really sure who at this point. He's meddling pretty hard on this. But he basically gives her an ultimatum. He tells her that if she doesn't tell Jack that she did it, Dr. Joe will.
I've got an ethical responsibility, Erica.
So we'll see what happens there. But Ian got another visitor this week. No, people, it wasn't Kendall. Sillies. It was Erica. And she talks to him and she tells him that he is a Cain, that he might be the most like her, a real Cain. And she gives him this monologue and people, I almost cried. I loved it so much. So much I almost wept. Ooh, I will not weep over are Blandy and Richie. People, for the sake of the recap, I'm going to give you a recap. But it ain't good. It's predictable, stupid, boring, dumb, ridiculous. Anybody could tell Ryan that kidnapping a man, putting him on a plane, sticking a needle in his arm, and withdrawing his blood against his will as he's tied up is a pretty god darn bad idea. He does it. And of course, dumbass Ryan somehow loses control of Richie. Richie goes to the bathroom, comes out, he gets the pilot by the neck. Ryan and Blandy have to fly the plane, people. I was laughing, people, because Cameron Matheson, as Ryan, was kind of like taking it in stride because it's the dumbest, silliest, most overused storyline ever. I think it's used once every 6 months, maybe. And poor Blandy is really trying to sell this thing. Like, she's trying to sell that she's scared and crying and blah, blah, blah. But, of course, they land the plane perfectly. Barely a ripple, barely a bounce. Everything works. And I have to tell you, I hated the doctor. The guy that played the doctor was really, I don't think he was very good. He's very like, please don't do this. I have a daughter. I have a family. Please don't do this. It was pretty bad. But of course, Richie reminds them that he could very easily press charges against all of them for what they've done. So of course, you know, they can't press charges against Richie for trying to down the plane, you know. So it just was all really stupid. But of course, the short of it is that Richie is actually dying of leukemia. And he has the most deadly form of leukemia. Like, there is no more deadly form. So we'll see. So the question there, people, is really who is sicker, Ryan or Richie? I am still saying Ryan. I think Richie is not going to be the sick one. And it will make me really happy if he's not. Because I think it would be great. Because the storyline is so dumb. I don't buy it. You know, if Blandy was so terrified with him, why is she constantly talking to him, connecting with him, doing things against him every day? If you're with someone that terrifies you and that you think will hurt you, you run away. That's ridiculous. It's so stupid. So she goes nuts the next day on Richie. She, like, finds him in the boathouse. And he actually seems really sane compared to her. And he's really troubled over all this stuff, you know? Like, it's really interesting. And he makes a good point. He said Ryan pushed him too far, you know? And he was right. Ryan did push him too far. So, this whole thing, I don't know. I hope it plays out the way I want it. Because if it plays out the way I want it, Blandy's the sicko and maybe goes away for a little while. You know how I feel, people. We all feel that way. It's not the actress. The actress is really lovely. It's the character. Ridiculous. But that hair, that hair. It's good hair. Lily made a date with Richie, so she's all excited. I don't think Richie really cares, though. Did he get a haircut, people? I think he got a haircut. He goes to the boathouse, and Babe finds him there. That's kind of how the week ended there. But not before Babe and JR have sex. Yes, people, they have sex. We don't really see it, though. We see them after lying in bed on the yacht. And JR, I don't know, I think his nipples are growing. Something, they were kind of big, kind of poofy. It was a little strange. Of course, JR gets all caught up in the moment, and he asks Babe to get married again. And they seem awkward. I don't know. I think they had chemistry, but they were a little awkward. Anyway, she's all like the sane one about it, with her perfect diction and her perfect hair. And, you know, she reminds him that they both reached out for something comfortable. I don't know. I don't know how I felt about it, people. It was all right. Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not, I just don't like the new babes. It's just dumb. I'm not feeling it. The one good thing I liked her do was when she popped up out of bed and said that she was turning into her mother. Because she is. And she gets up with the sheet wrapped around her, those beautiful blue sheets. I really hate the wrapped in a sheet thing, people. I don't know anybody that has sex that gets up and wrapped in a sheet. I know it's television. I know they can't show the human body, but figure out a way to do it. Shoot around it. Like, have her get up, you know, and put on her clothes and just shoot her head or something like that. You know what I mean? So stupid. Shoot her from the back. She does tell JR she don't love him. And then he gets defensive, people. He's had a bad streak lately. He gets real defensive. And he tells her to lighten up. And he just calls her XX. She's just XX. Which I liked. He's like, happens all the time. I don't care. Happens all the time. Which I loved. I thought that was pretty funny. She looked a little hurt. But she knew where it was coming from. She saw through that. And then she goes and she talks to Mama. And Mama counsels her. And Adam counsels JR. And then they see each other again. Babe and JR see each other again. The comeback. And she kind of lays it on the line with him. She tells him finally that she don't want to be with him because she's not in love with him. Then JR, like, after everybody has abandoned him, he calls Adam and basically says, you know, that he's going to give Adam a chance to back him. Of course, not telling Adam that he's lost all his backers. And then Adam is with Crystal. So Adam don't take the call. He's like, yeah, whatever. So then AJR is feeling totally abandoned by every single person he's ever known. And he takes a drink. That's pretty crazy, people. And when he took that drink, his fingernails were real dirty, people. Did you notice that? His little hand on that, in that glass, he had dirty fingernails. That's not good. You're on television. You got to take care of your fingernails. He takes care of his hair and his eyebrows. He puts lots of mousse in his hair and his eyebrows are always perfect. I can't even take care of his little nails. Last thing I got, people, I'm going to wrap this up. We got Crystal and Adam. We got Adam still coming to see Crystal as Stuart. And of course he has to take one collar out, you know, to indicate that he's retarded, which is dumb. So stupid. And then Adam finally admits he's playing Stuart and he begs her to come back. And he's crying a little bit as he asks Crystal to come back. It was beautiful. Their scenes are always so beautiful. I'm always crying. She tells him that she loves him and she admits that she screwed up. And I'm crying and crying and crying. And I'm actually believing Adam that he can accept Jenny as Crystal's daughter, not as Tad's. And Adam asks her to marry him again. And then they're kissing and Tad walks in. And let me tell you, this is why I love Michael Knight. He is such a beautiful actor. He gets so pissed and you feel it in your bones. Like, you feel your bones rattling. Like, he gets so angry. Because this is the man that tried to sell Jenny, his daughter. He is not having this relationship. He is not having it. And I love it. And then Tad leaves all pissed off. And Adam's like, he'll come around. I was laughing. Yeah, right. Famous last words. Then there's like a little more BS at the end of the week with Crystal and Adam. But she tells him she can't be with him because of Jenny, which we know. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out because she really can't, people. She really can't. She handed him a restraining order because she can't restrain herself, people. But Adam notices there's no signature on it and he rips it up because it's useless. And Adam wants her back, so they kiss passionately at the end of the week. And, you know, we'll see what happens with those two. I love those two. I really do. We had a little Tad and Hannah, too. She encourages him to spread his wings and fly. And she's right, of course. And Tad talked to Jenny after the whole fight with Crystal. And that's always lovely. I love that little Jenny. She is such a good actress. I love her. She's so responsive and so cute. I love her. All right, people. I have talked enough. I'm solo. I can't talk no more. I hope you liked the show today. I enjoyed doing it for you. We will have a special guest next week, people. A special guest. I hope you listen next week. I can't wait for next week. I just hope the week is as good. We also have news. Newsflash. I think Superposter posted it on our website. People, Katie McClain, ex-Dixie, is out on As the World Turns. That storyline is cooked, over, done, people. Right in, right in, right in. You know, if the striking writers brought Dixie back, that would be the one good thing. That would be good. Or I should say the scab writers. If the scab writers brought Dixie back, that would be good. I would accept it. I would accept it. I would accept it. Flashback. Have Tad roll over. Be in bed naked with Dixie. All is forgiven. No explanation necessary, people. No explanation necessary. And bring back Simone's twin. Bring that back too. I love that woman. All right, people. I am done. If you want to email us, you may do so at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. If you want to check out our MySpace page, you can find us at www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website and find links to all that stuff, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza, and here's a little something just for you.
Listen, I need you to do something for me. And for you. I need you to plead guilty.
Plead guilty? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
But I didn't do anything.
Look, I can't get into it right now. All right? I need you to trust me.